Radio Daily for Anti-Friday. Oh, Owen.
Hi, everyone.
Hey.
It's been gone a bit there.
It's been a sweek.
It's been something like that. That's what they call it. No, not a sweekly. That's...
Nope.
Sadly. Anyway, welcome to the fun, the wonderful, and the goofiness that is the 25th of July. Sometimes it took a while to figure that out. It's just one of those strange things. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, the folks that are bringing to you today, the lady that knows the best path going forward. That's the Flintstones.
I understand that's not the point of teaching, but just give them all B-pluses.
B-pluses for all that works. Hi, everybody. I'm the guy that thinks differently. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
The box is where I live.
Where I live. And welcome to National Wine and Cheese Day. Enjoy it. What happened this fine day, yo?
Well, in 1832, kind of sad news, in Quincy, Massachusetts, one man dies in the first railroad accident in U.S. history.
1837, the first commercial use of an electric telegraph is successfully demonstrated by William Cook and Charles Wheatstone.
1907, Boris Rosing of St. Petersburg, Russia, applies for the first patent on a cathode ray tube, which will later be granted in 1910.
Why did it take so long? 1909, French aviator Louis Bidard flies across the English Channel in a monoplane traveling from Calais, France to Dover, England in 37 minutes, the world's first international overseas airplane flight.
1920, the first transatlantic two-way radio broadcast is transmitted.
1942, John Logie Baird applies for a British patent for improvements in color television, which involves a cylindrical cathode ray tube with two guns scanning both sides of a transparent phosphor-coated screen, one for blue-green, the other orange-red. Because of the look of the tube, they call it a teapot.
1944, the German Messerschmitt 262 becomes the first jet-powered fighter aircraft used in combat. Design work started before World War II, but the engine problems delayed the aircraft's actual development.
1946, the U.S. detonates the Baker atomic bomb during the course of Operation Crossroads at the Bikini Atoll in the Pacific, the first underwater nuclear explosion intended to test the weapon against a naval fleet of war surplus and captured enemy vessels.
I think they were really going after SpongeBob.
That makes sense.
1953, the cartoon Duck Dodgers in the 24th Century, directed by Chuck Jones, is released featuring Daffy Duck as Duck Dodgers, Porky Pig, and Marvin the Martian.
It took a while, but it finally got its own series. 1959, a hovercraft crosses the English Channel for the first time.
1961, Clive Sinclair founds Sinclair Radionics to develop and sell electronic devices such as calculators.
1973, the Soviet space probe Mars 5 is launched aboard a Proton SL-12/D-1-E booster. Orbits Mars, you know, that's what it does.
Yeah.
Good for you.
1976, the first performance of the Philip Glass opera Einstein on the Beach is held in Avignon, France. It's Glass's first and longest opera score, taking approximately 5 hours to complete with no intermission.
1978, in Oldham, England, Louise Joy Brown, the first baby conceived through in vitro fertilization, delivered by cesarean section at the Oldham District General Hospital, dubbed the first test tube baby. She weighed 5 pounds, 12 ounces.
Wow. That's the same year I was born. So if she's still alive, which I would think she is, she's 44 years old. That's crazy.
There you go.
1983. In San Antonio, Texas, a baboon becomes the first non-human primate conceived in a lab dish.
1984. Cosmonaut Svetlana Savitskaya becomes the first woman to perform a spacewalk as she carries out more than 3 hours of experiments outside the Salyut 7 space station during the course of Soyuz T-12.
1997, America Online reveals they've dropped plans to sell subscriber phone numbers to business partners for telemarketing purposes.
Thanks. Same day at an international symposium of the ethics of human cloning and stem cells, it's announced that human stem cells have been cultured in a laboratory for the first time using tissue taken from aborted human embryos. Mm. See, we told you.
2003, Paramount Pictures releases Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, directed by Jan de Bont and starring Angelina Jolie, Gerard Butler, Ciaran Hinds, Chris Berry, Noah Taylor, and Till Schweiger.
2004, the fan film World's Finest, directed by Sandy Kalora, starring Clark Barcham and Michael O'Hearn, is released. It features DC comic characters Batman and Superman, and Lois Lane, Two-Face, Lex Luthor. It's going to demonstrate the possibility of such a movie in the future, and they really should let those people finish making that. It was really good.
2004, a targeted nuclear missile strike was launched on America, Russia, and other regions of the artificial intelligence Skynet after becoming self-aware on August 4th.
2005, Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich signs a bill into law restricting the sale of violent video games to minors.
2008, Google announces that its search engine has processed its 1 trillionth unique URL, a milestone Google engineers had never expected to reach when the company launched its first index of 26 million in 1998.
Yeah, how could it get that big in that short amount of time? Crazy birthdays.
place?
Friend of the show, wonderful author, Mer Lafferty is 47, writer and editor from Pseudopod, Heaven, Playing for Keeps. I really enjoy that.
David Denman is 47. That's Roy in The Office, 13 Hours, and Sam in The New Power Rangers.
Chloe Annette is 49, Christine Kolchansky in season 7 and 8 of Red Dwarf.
Wendy Raquel Robinson is 53 from Mantis, The Steve Harvey Show, The Game, which I just lost, Tanisha in The Boondocks.
Matt LeBlanc is 53. That's Vinny from three different Fox shows. Friends, Ed, Lost in Space.
Ileana Douglas is 55. To Die For, Stir of Echoes, The New Guy, Dragon, Embrace of the Vampire.
Barbara Harris is 85. The original Freaky Friday, Peggy Sue Got Married, and Gross Point Blank.
No longer with us. Born in the state in 1894. Walter Brennan from Sergeant York. Support your local sheriff, The Real McCoys.
Born in 1908, Jack Gilford from Catch 22, They Might Be Giants, and Cocoon.
1923, Estelle Getty, Mannequin, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, Golden Girls.
Yeah. Born in 1982, Brad Renfro from The Client, Tom and Huck, Apt People, and Ghost World.
Ghost World is so good.
Well, it ain't gonna be on TV tonight, though. Nope. CBS has The Neighborhood, Bob Hart's Abishola, NCIS, and NCIS Hawaii.
ABC's got a new The Bachelorette, and it's all relative on a new claim to fame.
NBC has the qualifiers number 5 for American Ninja Warrior.
Fox, more reruns. Don't forget the lyrics again, and Beat Shazam again will be on.
Huh. Well, the CW has a rerun of Roswell, New Mexico. But then on Murphy's trial date appears, along with ghosts from her past, witnesses coming forward to testify against her, and secrets she never thought would be revealed. Felix faces a complicated reunion. That's all in a new episode of In the Dark.
Freeform is showing National Treasure. National Treasure! Book of Secrets, getting ready for the show on Disney.
Right. On AMC, a shocking visit forces Jimmy and Kim to face the consequences on a new Better Call Saul.
FX, a furious argument between Paul and Allie is interrupted by Ava's news about Jim. Luke is happier than ever, and a newly confident Ava stands up to her dad, but Paul and Allie need to decide, and this may be it on a new Breeders.
On FXX, we get a marathon of The Simpsons, Sleeping with the Enemy, and She Used to Be My Girl.
FXM is showing Logan, and it's still hard to imagine that's on Disney Plus.
You gotta sign in. Paramount, The Expendables 3, and then The Expendables 2.
Okay. Sci-Fi Channel has Transformers, Dark of the Moon.
Oh, Turner Classic Movies has A Hard Day's Night, and then Alice's Restaurant.
You can get anything you want, I've been told there. TNT is showing Ant-Man and the Wasp.
True TV has Bruce Almighty.
The Science Channel has your Expedition Unknown marathon, but tonight we'll be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because 12-year-old Olivia becomes a social media star to impress her mom, but her mom's new boyfriend intends more than just to manage the career, yeah, and throws her into a world of betrayal, jealousy, and murder. Rebecca Amezalag and Maja Vujicic star in Mommy's Little Star.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Thomas saves the life of a young warrior, and they become the bestest of best friends, almost family. Then, not after much time has passed, Thomas gets very sick and learns the wisdom of taking on new friends. Now, Thomas hopes to play Pony Soldier again soon, but there's still so much he wants to do. Escape to Burma, maybe find out who that strange lady in town is. Hashtag Chevy. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Indeed it is. PRS was incapacitated by Baccarat? I hear James Bond enjoys the game, but I prefer Blackjack. That is from Mad Psy. Well, I can't disagree with you there because Baccarat is great for clearing phlegm, but it's kind of confusing as an enjoyable card game. And congratulations to everyone that got it right, and so sorry for everyone that got it wrong. But the last time we were together, Chad and Abby were on the show Good Grief, in which Howie Mandel worked at a funeral home. Hilarity. If you happen to know where they are this time, by all means, you should drop us a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, send a voicemail or text message to the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CREW.
One critic said that show was dead on arrival.
The Ideas Start Here podcast is a science-based, informative, entertaining view on immunizations and general health-related topics. Featuring me, your host, Jack Mankin. Subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Or listen directly on your phone, computer, or any other device from the website www.stchealth.com.
Looks like you got the flu. Looks like you just got the flu.
The Ideas Start Here podcast.
Hi, this is Will Wheaton, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. And thank you for listening, because otherwise, it's all weird and stuff. Well, folks, go see there, yo.
Well, I just have to say before we get started, it's not in the top 10, but we finally saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. And oh my God, it's amazing. Good. Amazing. This week's 10, last week's 9. Mrs. Harris goes to Paris. Another spoiler, not a lot of people went to the movies this weekend. They were all at conventions. But this movie made $1.35 million, and it's made $4.6 in 2 weeks.
This week's 9 was last week's 8, Jurassic World Dominion, which I didn't. $2.9 million, it's made $365 in 7 weeks.
This week's 8, last week's 7, The Black Phone made another $3.45 million. It's made $78.5 in 5 weeks.
This week's 7, last week's 6, Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hog, making $3.8 million, made $13.7 in 2 weeks.
This week's 6, last week's 5, Elvis made another $6.299 million. It's made a little over $118 in 5 weeks.
This week's 5 was last week's 4, Top Gun Maverick, making another $10 million. It's made $635 million in 9 weeks. Okay.
I enjoyed it. This week's 4, last week's 3, Where the Crawdads Sing, made another $10.3 million. It's made $38 million in 2 weeks.
This week's 3, last week's 2, Minions, The Rise of Gru, $17.7. It's made $297 in 4 weeks.
This week's 2, last week's 1, Thor, Love and Thunder, made $22 million. It's made a little over $276 million in 3 weeks.
And the number one movie in America, shocking no one, is
Nope.
Nope. Not at all.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Although we don't have details on cast and crew, we do have a new date to report the long-anticipated Fantastic Four film that's part of the MCU. During a panel at San Diego Comic-Con, it was revealed Fantastic Four is coming November 8th,
2024.
Will it be called Fantastic 43?
That'd be great. As reported, earlier in the year, Spider-Man director John Watts was set to take the reins of the film, but backed out for unspecified reasons. Currently, he's doing the newest Final Destination. A lot of destinations. There's been no update on who will be directing in his place.
The guy who gave us some of the best Spider-Man ever would rather do Final Destination? That can't be good.
Yeah, I mean, John Krasinski, who, of course, you know, once upon a time auditioned for Captain America, appeared as Mr. Fantastic and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, only to get unraveled by Wanda, spoilers, within minutes of threatening her life. There's been no statement made whether or not he's going to return for the new Fantastic Four.
I mean, who else are they going to get? Rich Summer?
And speaking of things that are far in the future, MCU Phase 6 is now officially being called the Multiverse Saga, and will include not just the new Fantastic Four, but two new Avengers films, Kang Dynasty, Secret Wars, presumed to be named for a major Marvel Comics event crossover. According to Feige, those new Avengers movies will not be directed by the Russo brothers. What? So, Fantastic Four officially kicks off Phase 6 of the MCU in theaters on November 8th, 2024. And if the multiverse really is part of Marvel's plan moving forward, the first half of the movie will have Krasinski playing Mr. Fantastic, and the second half played by Randall Park.
Right? Right? I've seen some funny memes about that. Well, other good news to come out from Comic-Con, Matt Murdock is finally and officially making his long-awaited return to the small screen, this time fighting crime on Disney+. Daredevil Born Again was announced by Kevin Feige during Marvel's San Diego Comic-Con panel on Saturday evening, and the 18th episode season is set to bow on the streamer in spring 2024 as part of the newly detailed Phase 5 of the MCU.
Golly, I wonder if it's going to be as bloody as the Netflix series.
Both Charlie Cox and on-screen adversary Vincent D'Onofrio are set to reprise their roles from the Netflix series and subsequent encores. Cox, of course, first portrayed the title character on Netflix for 3 seasons, 2015 to 2018, for a total of 39 episodes. He was also in 8 episodes, you know, The Defenders. His blind superhero then made his way back to the MCU. Last year's Spider-Man No Way Home, that shouldn't be a spoiler at this point, he had a surprise cameo role.
Well, the superhero wasn't there, but the Justice exciting legal side of his character was.
Right. D'Onofrio in turn reprised Wilson Fisk, aka Kingpin, in multiple episodes of Disney Plus's Hawkeye series.
Just coming back. So I guess that means he survived the Hawkeye series.
Yeah, we're led to believe that he was dead at the end, but whatever. Ever since his No Way Home cameo, rumors have swirled that Disney Plus would bring back Cox as the Man Without Fear. And earlier this weekend, it was announced that Cox would voice Matt Daredevil in Disney Plus's upcoming Spider-Man freshman year animated series. I could see that. Sorry, Matt.
Star Trek's been making some pretty bold moves in its current ascendant era of shows, but it announced it's pulling one of its boldest, one of the most bonker ones, in which
Lower Decks will be crossing over with Strange New Worlds.
What? After the Ren Fair in Space episode, I could totally see them crossing over, but... Okay, but how's it going to work? Is Strange New Worlds going to be animated, or will Lower Decks be live action somehow?
From the press release just announced at San Diego Comic-Con, Strange New Worlds second season, which already has enough of its Trek plate to deal with, thanks to the return of Captain Kirk again, will feature a Jonathan Frakes directed crossover between Trek's newest show and its animated darling, Lower Decks. Although we don't know how they're going to show up a century in the past, it's Star Trek, it's not... that hard. Jack Quaid and Tawny Newsome will reprise their Lower Decks roles as Ensign Boimler and Mariner, announcing the news after crashing almost literally into Anson Mount's appearance at the Star Trek Universe panel that afternoon.
Just skip whatever Shatner said about the new Star Trek stuff.
Quaid and Newsome will be voicing their roles rather than physically starring in the live-action versions of their Lower Decks heroes. The special episode will feature a hybrid live-action animation to make one of the most unlikely of all Star Trek team-ups to ever happen actually happen.
They're going full Roger Rabbit? I'm here for it.
How exactly will it happen? Well, we just don't know yet, but it'll probably be either transporter malfunction or a warp malfunction or a replicator malfunction. Or Q. Either way, I'm sure they'll just fix the whole thing by reversing the polarity or just ejecting the warp core.
There's always something. Well, this is interesting. At Eco Dairy Farm in Abbotsford, the animals wear smart tech. This news, you know, didn't come out of Comic-Con. Around each cow's neck is a blue necklace that can help a robotic milking machine identify them. On their ears, they wear a machine that can do things like monitor their heart rate. Think Fitbit, but for cows.
But no, cows should not be exercising. That's going to make the meat, like, extra chewy. Not a good way.
Well, Scott Johnson, the manager of the farm, says wheatgrass is growing vertically indoors. In about the size of a classroom, the farm can grow more than 50 hectares worth in a year. Johnson told reporters even with last year's heat dome and flooding, there was feed for the cows. This is what agritech is all about, improving farming through technology and also making it more resilient in the face of extreme climate emergencies or those oversized locusts.
They're just messing up big fruit's plans for the killer tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Bill Vanderkoy is the founder of the farm, which hosted a government announcement Thursday. The province is investing up to $6.5 million over 3 years in Ottawa, up to $10 million over five to launch the BC Center for Agritech Innovation this fall at Simon Fraser University's Surrey campus. He said, we're looking at things like feeding seaweed to reduce methane in beef production or dairy production, explained Vanderkoy when asked about the type of solutions the center would bring.
But the seaweed is going to give the cows gills. I don't want no mutant burgers.
I'd still eat it. Jobs Minister Ravi Kalan said he toured the province and found from flooding in the Fraser Valley to new pests in the interior, there was a demonstrated need to improve food security. Some of the other projects to be investigated include sensors that can monitor which plants need more water to preserve water. To preserve water and optimize water use. Another may even be to see if Abbotsford can grow sushi rice.
Better watch out for the sushi rice rustlers if you're going to take on particular breed.
I feel like this is a seed and the start to see if we can answer those questions. The center will look at practical ways to improve farming practices. The province claims the project will create also up to 200 jobs. Well, and you know, come to think of it, a Fitbit for cows is actually a good thing. It'll certainly help them move it.
George R.R. Martin, novelist, screenwriter, TV producer, notable procrastinator, the mind behind HBO's biggest series of all time. Plenty more titles and accolades than he can boast, but the one thing he still can't add to his resume is a cameo on either of his big dragon-filled fantasy adaptations, and apparently that ain't changing anytime soon. Jacob Hall attended the House of the Dragon panel at Comic-Con. We're back to Comic-Con, yeah, where a fan asked if viewers might see Martin appear in a cameo role, and at least for now the answer is no, but Martin did leave the door open for a possible future appearance, and the showrunners on the panel seem more than welcome to the idea.
I noticed that good or even passable actor was not on the list.
In all fairness, it's not hard to see why Martin would want to stay clear of a Targaryen battle for dominance. Word on the street is they have 17 dragons, and that's a lot of fire to try to avoid, but turns out the dragons have nothing to do with this. Martin has his own reasons for keeping away from filming. As he explained to fans previously, for the last couple of years since COVID hit, I've hardly left my house. I've been trying to stay away from COVID, and he coyly added, also, you might not know, but there's this book I'm writing that's a little late.
Oh, we know.
Unsurprisingly, the hall erupted into chaos at the mention of The Winds of Winter, the much-anticipated next chapter of A Song of Fire and Ice. Martin went on to say that he has no time to appear in anything. Until I finish and deliver that book, he added. If the show is still going when the book is done, then who knows? maybe I'll show up.
How about you not take any more gigs until you finish the one you got, Georgie?
Hey, he's writing other things. Martin has been working on The Winds of Winter since 2011, so long that the HBO series ended up moving past the novels and just coming up with an ending. Right. Things got pretty dire for the book readers, and by now fans have pretty much given up hope that the novel series will ever be completed, especially since another book, A Dream of Spring, is set to follow. But it's really hard to abandon hope when Martin keeps promising that the ending is on the way.
A Dream of Spring, set to release in 2050.
Maybe the hope of a cameo will be the final push that gets him past the home stretch. After all, it's been a long-time dream of his to appear in a cameo role. Will he ever get the chance? Will we ever get The Winds of Winter? Will anyone really care about the new series thanks to what happened with Game of Thrones? Well, if the pattern proves itself, you know, the first three seasons are going to be really good. And you're probably going to want to skip the finale. GRD is licensed to Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, 96.3.0 license. Check us on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Because, I mean, they wouldn't come up with another uber-crazy, massive bad guy
they'd
knock off like 20 minutes in, right?
No.
No, without any explanation as to... Anyway, all the things I said before in that. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. And, of course, a voicemail or text message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CRIP.
And I am going to see if I can get that cutting room for this coming weekend. I know I had a whole week to work on it, but there was adult stuff to do. I'm sorry.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Creeps like you should be in a cage.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
Good night, suckers!
Oh, my God, look at this place. Like a museum of failure.
She's in the shower, isn't she?
Isn't she?
Who?
Miss Kaczynski, who do you think? Madame Curie?
What's the noise about? I can't sleep.
Forgive me, sir. Shame mode. Excuse me, Mom.
How the hell did you do that? Of course, you slipped out through the vent shaft and dropped into the corridor. Brilliant.
What?
You're a genius, an absolute genius.
What are you doing?
I'm putting on your shirt.
What are you doing that for?
I've got a little unfinished business.
That was a long time ago. Things are very different now.
Look, he's gone. Don't worry about Crichton. Now, come on, get your kit off and I'll go and slip into my Batman outfit.
You really believe in being direct, don't you?
Oh, come on, Rumpy Pumpy, Chris. Let's hit the springs.
That's your idea of seduction, is it? Well, forget it, Lister. Not if you were the last man alive.
I am the last man alive.
I rest my case.